Okay, picture the thing that you've always wanted to learn. Maybe it's how to play chess or creative writing or gardening. Now picture learning that thing from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That is what you get with Masterclass. Masterclass is such an easy way to help you learn more about something you're interested in. You can seriously find classes on everything from turning your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart to principles of improv from Amy Poehler. Are you kidding me? Y'all, I did a cooking class with Gordon Ramsay. And it was so much fun. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best and become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't waste another minute to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our friends get an additional 15% off of any annual membership at masterclass.com/soundsfun. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/soundsfun. masterclass.com/soundsfun. Hi, friends. Welcome to a special non-Thursday episode of the That Sounds Fun podcast. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs, and I'll explain everything to you in just a second. Dave Barnes is the music you're hearing in the background. Make sure you grab his most recent album, as well as catch him out on the road when he is on tour. One of my very, very favorite musicals in the world is Wicked, and I've been lucky enough to see it a couple of times in Nashville over the last couple of weeks at TPAC. And a funny thing has happened, thanks to Twitter and the internet. Jenna Claire Mason, who plays Glinda the Good Witch, and I have become friends, and she's so lovely and super fun, and I was dying to have her on the podcast. But here's the problem. We have shows booked out for the podcast on Thursdays for like almost the rest of the year. You guys, there are so many friends who I want to introduce you to and make sure you know, and people that are coming back, and so we just don't have any Thursdays left. We have more friends and conversations than we have days of the week, and so I said, forget it. I want Jenna Claire on here, and we're just going to release this episode whenever it's ready. So that's what we're doing. So we're always going to have a Thursday, but then maybe we'll start having something else. I don't know. All I'm telling you is that I wanted you to meet Jenna Claire. We haven't had any Broadway stars on the show before. I don't have any friends who are Broadway stars except Jenna Claire Mason and Mary Kate Morrissey, who plays Elphaba. These two girls are my only people in the Broadway world. And so I headed over to Jenna Claire's parents' house. She grew up in Nashville, and we sat down on the guest room floor with the microphone between us and talked for a long time. I think you are just going to love her. She is funny and kind and gifted, so talented, and loves the Lord. She's just a treat, and I think you guys are going to love this conversation. So I hope you're okay that we popped in on a different day of the week, and I hope you enjoy this conversation with Broadway star Glinda the Good Witch from the touring cast of Wicked, Jenna Claire Mason. Will you just say your name and some things?
Hi, my name is Jenna Claire Mason Moffitt. It's the longest name in the whole world. My legal name is actually Virginia Claire Mason Moffitt, which is really, really long. We are sitting on the floor in the room next to the room where I was born.
Yeah. Really? You were born in this house?
I was born in that room right there. On the other side of this wall, I was born. So
that's surprising. That's a surprise turn of events. I didn't see you coming with that one.
Don't go, Annie. Don't go.
Yeah. Cool. It's been neat seeing you again. Okay.
It was planned. She's a nurse. She like had a midwife.
Your mother?
My mom's. Yeah. She's
a nurse, but you can't birth your own baby.
No, but she like got a midwife. She had my two older brothers in a hospital.
Okay.
Like sensible people do.
Right.
And she's like, I think I've got this whole birthing baby things down. Like, let's
do it
at home.
This here.
And then me and my little brother were born here. And I got to see my little brother be born.
How much younger is he than you?
5 years younger.
And so you watched it?
I was there like at the end.
Okay.
The tail end.
Yeah.
Or the head end or however you want
to
call
it. The exit. You were there for the exit, not for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have to back up because you started a story that I will not let, because we are friends, incredibly fast friends.
Fast friends.
But also, thank you, Twitter.
Thanks, Twitter.
Because literally, I love Wicked. I love musicals. I tweeted you and told you how great you were because you're just so gifted. And I noticed when I tweeted you that you had retweeted a ton of my friends. And I thought, oh, do we share worlds? And then I said, come be on the podcast.
Well, it's funny because I was listening to your interview recently with Dave Barnes and he said Twitter's a graveyard.
Yeah.
But like, Twitter's not, alive and well. Wrong. Here we are. We're here because of Twitter.
He's so wrong. I tell him that a lot.
Sorry, Dave.
About that. Yeah, he's wrong. And so you, but you said to me, okay, that sounds fun.
So you tweeted that you liked the show and you said, come be on my podcast. I looked at your profile and I saw that Maria Goff and Bob Goff followed you. And I had just been hanging out with them at the Dream Big conference like a few weeks prior.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, Maria and Bob love her, so I love her.
So yeah.
And so I private messaged you and said, that sounds fun.
Right. Like, being having on idea.
Having no idea that that was actually the title of your podcast.
Right.
And didn't realize until I actually looked up in my podcast app, Annie F. Downs, that I was like, wait, the name of her podcast is That Sounds Fun? That's verbatim what I said.
Yeah, and then you're like, now she's
so
stuck.
Weird.
Now we're stuck together.
Well, and you were so sweet to like jump through hoops and contact the Wicked Press team and make it all happen.
No worries. Tell me, I mean, how do you see all those people? So many people tweet at you. I mean, is it like the sweetest thing to read after a show?
Yes, it's, you know, I think if I was an accountant or something, I probably wouldn't get the same kind of feedback after work every day.
Yeah, right? That's the truth.
You did a great job crunching those numbers today.
Yeah, you just go on your social media, you're like, no one celebrates me, I'm an accountant. I'm just here. Okay, so I have my phone with a couple of questions somewhere. We don't really need questions. I'm not real concerned about us. But, okay, start me off. You're a Nashville girl.
I'm born and raised. Here in Brentwood, Tennessee. Yeah.
Yes. But you're also a Broadway star. Let's just call a thing a thing. It's just true.
Well, currently not on Broadway, currently in Nashville, which is great. But yeah, I am based out of New York City, which was kind of always the dream, was to get up there eventually.
Really?
But I mean, there is no city like Nashville for sure, but there's also no city like New York.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you spend time up there?
Yes. I love it.
Isn't it great?
Next time I'm there, let's
can we,
just
can
do
we go
some
to
things.
Alice's Teacup?
I don't even know what that is, but yes.
Yes. You'll love it.
Okay,
that'll be great.
Great.
It's right up your alley. I know because we're fast friends.
Right. We're done.
I know that you'll love it.
I know you're right is what I know as well as you know. I was thinking about your move to Nashville. No, your move to New York. And tell me about when you actually packed up.
Oh, man. So I went to school at Elon University. I got a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Musical Theater.
Well, sure.
Like you do.
Well done. I mean, at least you're using your degree, which is more than most of us.
And then 1 month after graduation, I married the man of my dreams.
So did y'all meet at college?
So his little sister.
We were so going to go here. So I'm glad you just jumped right in because I for sure was going to ask.
His little sister, Becca, was my Bible study leader since my freshman year of college. I was part of InterVarsity, which was the Christian organization on our campus. And the very first meeting, they were organizing small groups. And this cute little blonde, curly-headed girl got up and talked about how she was starting a Bible study called Crazy Love, based on the Francis Chan book, Crazy Love. And I was like, oh, I've always wanted to read that book. I'll join that Bible study. And I was just, my freshman year, so impressed by her. She's someone who really led with wisdom and really let the conversation, like she was really good about guiding things, not being like, oh, this is my podium to preach at all of you younger children, but
really
guided and nourished us, I guess, as freshman girls. And
really
it was great because she was a year ahead. So
she was only one year ahead and she was leading.
But she'd lived a little life there at our university. And spring of my freshman year, I walked in and I said, I just got cast in one of my dream roles at this tiny little summer stock theater in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. And she said, I live in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. Where is it? And I said, Finley. Have you ever heard of Finley?
No.
And
I'm sorry to my Finley fans and friends. I apologize.
Hello, Finley. Shout out to Finley. It was my very first summer stock job, my first like professional gig.
Yeah.
Elon really encourages their students to try to work at a regional theater every summer if they can. And
what was the show?
Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Okay.
Do you know, are you familiar with it?
Yeah, for sure.
So I got to play Millie, which was really fun.
Oh my gosh. So your first show out, well, of course, you're gifted, but your first show out, you're Millie.
In Findlay, Ohio. Yes.
Yeah. To be fair. Okay.
Which is great. Thank you, University of Findlay Summerstock.
Yeah, that's right.
My first Sunday up in Findlay, I drove north about 30 minutes and met up with Becca at her church and met up with her and her big brothers.
Believable.
And I said, he's cute.
Yeah. He said, if I have my pickings, I'll take that one. What does he do?
So he's an air traffic controller.
Okay. So like at JFK or?
We're at Westchester.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is just north of New York City.
Such a different world than yours.
So different, which is really wonderful.
Is it wonderful? Yeah. Because I balance.
Gets you out of the musical theater bubble.
Yes. I balance back and forth between liking men who are in my world and liking men who are not in my world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you went with someone who's not in your world.
He had never seen a musical when we met.
Really?
And I was raised.
And you were like, what, 19 at this point when y'all met?
Yes, actually. I had turned 20 a month before I met him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So right around there.
So he had never seen a musical, but you grew up. That was your life growing up.
Exactly. Yeah. And 6 months prior, we had both just gotten out of pretty long-term relationships. And we kind of got to know each other that summer. And then we dated for a couple years. And then we were engaged for a year.
So did he move with you to Elon?
No.
So y'all were long distance the whole time?
We've been long distance for almost 8 years now. So
you're like, we are continually long distance.
But he's here right now visiting, which is great. Yeah. He comes to see me every week on tour, wherever I am. When was the first time you saw Wicked?
Okay, I saw Wicked for the first time in 2011 on West End.
No way.
And it was...
Wait, who did you see?
Hold on. It is. It's who you... Rachel.
No.
I saw it twice.
You're joking.
She's unbelievable. What's her last name? Say
Rachel
her last name.
Tucker.
Yes, Rachel Tucker. And so I fell in love because Rachel Tucker.
What were you
Tucker.
Doing in London?
So I used to live in Scotland.
No.
And so I had friends that were there, that were in London. So Lady Antebellum, the country group, they were in London for a week. And then another friend of mine came for a couple of days. And so both times I just took the train down from Edinburgh and stayed with my friends. And when I did, the first time I'd been with the other friends, and then when Lady A was there, I said, I was like, we've got to go see Wicked. I was like, I will bawl if this girl, Rachel Tucker, isn't Elphaba because she's the most unbelievable.
Oh my goodness.
Her in Defying Gravity, I've never seen anything like it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's like the full circle moments never really stop.
Right. Okay. Tell me.
I studied abroad in London when I was a student at Elon, spring of my junior year. So it was 2012. So
oh my gosh.
I like just missed you.
We
probably.
Just missed each other.
My friend, my sister Becca that I was talking about, my now sister, former Bible study leader, forever sister, was visiting me in London. And a man who I affectionately call my British brother because he lived with us for a summer when I was 16 is a lawyer in London. And one night we were out hanging out with him. He surprised me and Becca with tickets to Wicked.
Oh, wow.
I burst into tears because it's my favorite musical.
Oh, was it already your favorite
already
musical?
Already my favorite musical. I saw the original cast when I was 13. I guess we'll have to back up to that point.
We will. Keep going. I'll cross my fingers.
But surprised me with tickets outside of the theater. I burst into tears. He actually came to Nashville a couple weeks ago and we recreated the picture of him holding my face and me being like, I'm so happy. Saw Rachel Tucker. She was, like you said, unlike anything I'd ever seen before. Rockstar Elphaba.
Yes.
And then 4 years later, fast forward, I had been cast as the Glinda standby in the Broadway company.
Yeah.
It was my first actual Broadway job. I had done tours and a show in Vegas, but this is my first Broadway gig in my dream show.
And what's the difference between standby and understudy?
So standby, as the standby, your only job is to be at the theater off stage, ready to go on for the part at any moment.
So a standby Elphaba is green.
No.
Okay.
But could get green very quickly.
Green really quick.
I've seen it happen. It's incredible.
Okay.
It's really magnificent.
Okay. So you were the standby.
Versus the understudy is actually in the ensemble.
Right.
And they're in the show every day.
Right.
Eight times a week. But the standby is not performing. Their only job is to go on for that part and kind of like consider the first cover.
Got it. Okay.
So fast forward. I got the job. I'm sitting at the Gershwin Theater listening to this gal sing Elphaba.
Yes.
And I'm like, this voice. I know this voice. It reminds me of that girl's I saw play Elphaba in London.
No.
And I opened the playbill. Granted, when she's doing it in London, she's doing it with her English accent.
Yeah.
She's actually Irish. But in America, she was doing it with
She does it with an American accent?
Yes.
Oh, I thought she stayed British.
Surely this can't be the same girl. Open the playbill. It's the same girl. And then a couple weeks later, I made my Broadway debut with her.
You are lying to me.
It was such a crazy full circle moment to say, 4 years I was watching this girl in London as a student and a hopeful music theater actor. And then you played opposite of her. Yeah, I think the first probably 13, 14, 15 times I went on, it was all with her. So
that's unreal.
And she's amazing. She's a powerhouse.
She – I –
and really, there's nothing. I've never experienced a moment like her the first time defying gravity when she's up in the air, losing her mind. I was like, I don't know this. I didn't know this happened.
It's cool too. I told her when I saw her in London, I said, you know, it was March 2012. And she said in her Irish accent that she was 4 months pregnant at the time.
Really?
Yeah. And then moved to Broadway and was a mom and playing Elphaba and being a mom. And
I mean, we missed each other by 4 months because I was there in November of 11.
Well, and I started studying there in January. So we really just missed each other.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
We were meant to meet, Annie.
It was bound to happen.
Thank you, Twitter.
Yeah, thank you, Twitter, but long before. Man, that's incredible. So I saw it there. I've seen it in New York. I've seen it in Atlanta. It's my very favorite one. I just think it's so smart. I think it's a really smart show. So
and
that's
still relevant 15 years later. Yes. You know?
Yes, it just keeps. So do you have a guesstimate of how many times you've done it?
Done it?
Do you even know?
I think I have to be up to 400 at least.
Oh,
I think.
Gosh.
Because I've been doing it on tour for over 13 months.
What makes you go from standby to the tour?
Oh, man. I had to audition again.
Did you really?
I did.
You're like, excuse me, call Rachel Tucker. And that is all you need.
Oh, Rachel was always really supportive of me. And yeah, I think there was a handful of times that I went on that the associate director was there and I got to rehearse with her a handful of times. And I guess they were interested in me and I got an appointment and then I had a call back. And for my callback for tour, I had to walk in the room and sing the music for Stephen Schwartz, who wrote the music.
You had to sing in front of him, and he's the one.
Yeah, singing popular for the man who wrote popular was pretty cool.
So tell me about seeing the original cast.
Okay, okay.
When you were 13.
Because
I never
rewind.
Got to see that. And I didn't love it until Rachel Tucker.
Oh, I love
and
that.
I had
Rachel
no idea.
Tucker made you love Wicked.
Yes.
That's so sweet. I saw my first Broadway show when I was in fourth grade. It was Les Mis. I was with my mom on a trip in New York, and I was sitting in row K at the Imperial Theater.
You like, no.
And at intermission, I said, people do this for a living? Like, this is their job? They're singing and dancing and acting, and they're getting paid for it?
Did you already sing?
I think I popped out singing probably.
Okay. We can just ask because it happened next door.
Music theater, I think, was always kind of in my blood because we watched Singing in the Rain and Sound of Music. And my first CDs were like the Annie soundtrack and My Fair Lady and Annie Get Your Gun and Cats.
Yeah. Well done.
So, and my family's pretty musical and my dad plays guitar and we have a took piano lessons early on. So I think I was always.
Oh my gosh, y'all were all just laying in bed singing last night on your Insta story.
Yes!
I was like, oh my gosh, your parents are singing to you at 2:30 in the morning. Have you being here just totally changed their body clocks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Y'all are awake till 2:30 in the morning.
Yep.
That's insane.
Working nights.
Okay, so the first time you saw Wicked.
So then fast forward a few years later, I was on a business trip with my dad in New York and we were staying at the Hilton and the lady at the concierge desk was like, oh, maybe your daughter would like to see this new show, Wicked. And we knew it was kind of, she said, you know, it was the backstory to Wizard of Oz and I was obsessed with the Wizard of Oz growing up. So that was enough to get me to the theater and we went and did the lottery because, I mean, you know, Hamilton's so popular now and it's hard to get tickets, but that was Wicked when it first came out.
Right.
It was, tickets were expensive and hard to get and it was sold out. It was sold, like you couldn't get a seat.
Yeah.
So we went and did the lottery, didn't win. The next day went back and did the lottery again, didn't win. And I ran to the will call line. So I was the first person in the will call line, 13, but I figured it out the day before what to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were the first ones in line at Will Call and got two tickets for the fourth row and saw Wicked the musical. And I'll never forget how sharp Idina Menzel's cheekbones were.
Yeah.
That good, good contour.
Uh-huh, that's right. That's right. That green and the other level of green.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And at intermission, looked at my dad and said, I'm going to be Glinda someday.
No.
I did. And he,
which
don't get me wrong, my dad is very supportive, so no dissing my father, but he did say, yeah, you and every other little girl. So I think he had his doubt. All that to say, they like did take me to voice lessons and and dance classes, and so very, very supportive, but definitely not like stage parents that were pushing me to do this. It was all pretty self-driven.
But I mean, you decided from then.
I saw her in the bubble. I was like, I want to get in that bubble.
I want to arrive by bubble.
Age 13, definitely.
Yeah.
And the costumes and the music and, it captured my little teenage heart.
How do they click you into the bubble? I see that. I know who's back there.
Does
but what
ruin
is
the
it
theater
on your,
magic?
Maybe. Do you want to say? Do you want to not answer?
No. There's like a clip. Harness built into the dress, and there is a carabiner system of sorts that it's not connected to the dress for the whole show, but for the specific scenes.
Just for the bubble scenes.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm safe.
Okay.
I think people go like, "How are you connected? How are you? I feel safe.
I just always one time there's a monkey and he attaches you. And one time there's a guy. I've noticed. I did see it.
You've seen it a few times.
I've seen it a few times. And I mean.
You're looking for it.
This time I was like, I feel like I we're friends. I was kind of like, I'm watching
a person
I care about actually doing this.
I need to make sure she's safe.
She's safe. I'm sorry. I know y'all do this every night, but this is my first night as her friend and I really care. So I need y'all to buckle her in. It'll all be fine.
Actually, I start the show up in the bubble and it's like 35 feet in the air, but I wiggle my toes and my shoes and say a prayer.
Yeah, I was about to say, is it scary?
But yeah, and I just pretend like I'm on the ground, but it's fun.
Are all the theaters the same size as TPAC that you're in right now?
No, TPAC's huge.
Is it? Okay.
TPAC's bigger than, I think, any theater in New York, but it's comparable to some regional houses that we go to, but it's definitely on the larger side.
Oh, okay. I don't know. That's the only one I ever go to besides like being in
New
York.
It's a great theater.
And the ones in New York are always small unless you're seeing Aladdin.
Exactly.
And then it's like massive because it's all the children. And but all the ones let me tell you one I loved. Oh, I'm never going to remember the name of it now. It closed and it was about I'm just curious if you saw it.
And I feel like this is like a musical theater.
It's not going to be a quiz. It's not going to be a quiz. I'm not going to be able to remember. It starts with an A. It's a French name.
Emily?
Yes.
Did you see it?
I loved it.
Oh, man.
Did you see it?
It did not have a super long run. And
no,
sadly, I did not
so
make it
short.
To see it.
I
know.
And
Philip Basu was in it.
I cried.
You did?
Yeah, Philip Basu was amazing.
She's incredible.
My buddy Jonathan and I, whenever I go up there, he picks for me. He's a New York guy.
There?
Yeah. He knows what he's doing. And so we all, I'll usually do a walk up for Wicked and just buy a ticket at the door or whatever if there's any available, or one that you really know. But then he'll always find one that I don't know. And we saw that one and we were like, that's the most beautiful thing. It's going to win everything. And then they're like, closing.
Oh, man.
Like, oh, New York, break
so
my heart.
So am I going to be vying for your attention? Like, am I going to have to like fight Jonathan off when I want to like hang out with
0%.
You when you come to New
no,
York?
No, 0%. We'll make it all.
It's okay. Jonathan can come to Alice's Teacup
with
us.
Yeah. He'll love it.
The more
it.
The merrier.
It'll be great. Where do y'all live in New York? I mean, don't give your address. Unless you want stuff. My friends are so sweet on this podcast. They'll mail you things if you need
I lived in Harlem. And so actually, when I moved to New York when we got married, we did not move to New York City.
Okay.
In the world of the FAA, air traffic controlling, you get to pick your top two cities that you're in or states that you're interested in living in.
Oh, wow.
So Eric picked New York and Tennessee because he knew New York is where I wanted to be.
Sweet.
And he knew Tennessee was where my family was. So he's like, we'll land in one of those spots. And we got placed in Binghamton, New York. Ever heard of Binghamton, New York?
No. Where is it?
Not Birmingham.
Binghamton.
It's about an hour south of Ithaca.
Okay,
Ithaca's a little bigger.
Yep.
So we moved to small town Binghamton.
Okay.
SUNY Binghamton is there. That's in Wegmans. Do you know Wegmans?
Yes. Thank you. I'm with you on that. Wegmans. Yes.
And we lived there for 4 years. So
and would you just commute in?
Yeah, it's about 3.5 hours
in
from
a
New York
train
City.
Or in a what?
On a Greyhound bus.
You're lying to me. You would ride a Greyhound bus 3.5 hours.
Sometimes when I was unemployed and auditioning, sometimes I'd take the bus to New York, go to a dance call, get cut, and go back to the Port Authority and get back on the bus and go home like defeated.
Oh my gosh.
That's when it was probably at its worst. But I was pretty fortunate as when we got married, I got the Flashdance tour.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Flashdance?
I didn't see it. No. I didn't see it, but I've heard it. It was the season before.
Oh, really?
I was a season ticket holder here.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So I did Flashdance, and it was crazy because Flashdance came to Nashville, but I joined the show after it was in Nashville.
Okay.
And then I did the Newsies tour, but I left Newsies before it came to Nashville.
So
I kept missing Nashville.
Yeah.
So doing Wicked in Nashville was really.
Is this your first one you've done here?
Yes.
Really?
But it was perfect. Like it all.
Oh my gosh.
At the time, it was disappointing, sure. But it was perfect. Like my professional debut in Nashville was supposed to be Glinda.
I was about to say, talk about that in your real heart of like, there were all these disappointments and the right thing was the right thing.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is.
Did that feel like, what'd you think about
surreal,
God?
Yeah, too good to be true. Definitely.
Because it also stayed for, you've been here
a month.
3 weeks or something,
yeah,
right?
And before that, we were in Memphis, which is where my mom is from.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, my grandmother and aunts and uncles and cousins are there, so that was really cool. And then we were in Chicago for 7 weeks, and that's where my dad's from.
7 weeks. Oh, my gosh.
So we've gotten to hit all these
oh,
cool
yeah,
spots
I guess
where
such
I have
a
family.
Huge show, you can sell that long.
Right.
And
but the timing
see it that
really is crazy because Wicked only comes through cities every 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
So I very easily could have, missed this mark again.
Yeah.
And yet here we are.
And yet.
Friends.
I know. Friendship. Who'd have known? I think that's such a sweet statement about God. And we'll talk about your faith in just a second because I think that is fun for people to hear.
Yeah.
All the pieces of you that you want to share. But I think it's really a sweet remembrance that because someone could look at you. Some 20-year-old is listening to this who's dying to be Glinda, mm. right? And she could go, yeah, but that all worked for her and it was easy. And you're like, no, I rode the bus 3.5 hours each way. And like, it was years.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed.
And I auditioned for it like four or five times before I got it, which is
Did
a lot
you?
Of story, the story for people who are in that show.
You just
yeah,
keep going
I think
back.
Because it's such a long-running show, the audition process is kind of like a dating process.
Yeah.
Like they get to know you through your auditions and then kind of pluck you out. And I kept getting callbacks,
yeah.
but never actually landing the part.
Until it came to Nashville, yeah. which is just incredible. You are brilliant at the part. Do you just
Thank
like,
you.
Were you already doing comedy? Because you're
oh.
so funny.
Thank you.
Was that already in other things you were doing? Or is that just in you? Are you just, it has to be.
I come from a funny family, I think. Uh-huh. I'm definitely not the most naturally humorous of the bunch, but you get my big brothers together and it's
yeah.
like, I don't know, it's like SNL. I mean,
yeah,
the way
really.
They play off each other and the characters and the voices and the jokes and yeah, it's a riot. And
so there's
and nobody,
two older and one younger.
Two older and one younger. Okay. And then nobody in... The casting director actually came to the show this past weekend,
uh-huh.
and that was exciting to have him here. And he asked me between shows, he said, who would you say is, a comedian influence for you? And I was like, well, no one in the world is funnier to me than my father. My dad,
really?
My dad is the funniest person I know.
Yeah.
So
my
I
dad's
don't know.
The funniest person I know.
Really?
Yeah, that's so funny.
No one can make me laugh harder. He's the person that makes me
for
laugh
sure.
till I'm crying. So
yes.
I don't know, maybe just years spending time around
just
him. Because people
that.
Think my Glinda's different. And I don't know, it's probably just because I spent a lot of years with Dick Mason. And
right.
He's a total weirdo. And one like he's the most wonderful man you'll
yeah,
ever
meet. Yeah, your Glinda is so, she's everything she's supposed to be. But she's also like, yeah, extra funny.
Oh,
you're just this
thank
another
you.
Level of funny that is, and you can tell that you hear when we like what you're doing. Right?
You're right. Oh my gosh. And that's so true. And kind of just like word to the wise for anyone going and supporting live theater, ideally as professionals, you're delivering the same show
mm-hmm.
every time,
sure.
right? But the truth of the matter is that the audience is totally fueling everything
yeah.
that's happening on stage.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the beauty of live theater is that
yes.
it's live. And, you can hear us, but we can hear you.
Yes.
Or not.
Yeah, yeah. Or less than.
If it's
yeah.
a sleepy Saturday matinee, or I actually have this theory that Thursday night crowds are the best.
Thank you.
And
that is when I have my season ticket. Thank you very much. Except that's also when I saw the not Mary-Kate Elphaba.
Oh, you got to see Chelsea. Well,
yes.
You got to see both, which
yes,
was really cool.
Which was great. I would love, can we talk about you and Mary-Kate? Because y'all have the sweetest friendship that is
oh.
like, So palpable on.
Thank you.
When did y'all meet? Start back. So oh she's Elphaba, we should say to people. So, and y'all are the two, for anyone who doesn't know the show, y'all are the good witch and
the wicked witch. The yes. green witch.
Yes, that's right.
When I was the standby on Broadway, which I did for like 16 months.
Oh my gosh, 16 months.
She was the standby for Elphaba on tour. So it's like we were both doing it, but in different places.
Yeah.
But the community is so small. Everybody kind of knows at least of everybody.
Okay.
Yeah. And just the musical theater community in general, but definitely Wicked's tiny.
Yeah.
and so, yeah, we knew of each other. And then when she got off the tour, we ran into each other on the street once out in front of the Something Rotten Theater, and we're kind of like, hey, I know you. seen you on Instagram.
Yeah.
So that was the first time we casually met.
Yeah.
Fast forward to finding out she was coming out to – I had been on tour for about 6 months already.
Okay.
And found out she was coming to replace and was like, oh, I met her. She was so cool.
Yeah.
On the street. And I have to say – we clicked pretty instantaneously. And here's why. Our first rehearsal, we stood around a piano and sang For Good.
Really?
Which is a song about friendship.
Yes.
And
that was how y'all like started to get to know each other.
Right.
Like
but there's an instant bond from looking into someone's eye across the piano and singing about how much you cherish and adore one another.
Yeah.
And yeah, we both come from big families and both have wonderful parents and a similar goofy sense of humor.
Yeah.
But I think we live to make each other laugh, which makes popular an adventure every night.
Oh, I bet it's different every night.
Yeah. We are professionals,
yes,
but
you
I
are.
Will say our stage manager has stepped into our room a couple times and gone, okay, we need to tighten it up a little, girls. It's getting up. The taz is getting a little long.
Right. We need
to tighten it up.
Because someone's running time somewhere and trying to make
stage
sure
manager,
you.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Everything is totally documented every day. The temperature, the humidity levels, the start and stops time.
No.
How long intermission is. Yes. The audience responses, that is all put into the daily report. So.
Oh, see, these are things that normals like me do not know.
The business side of the show business.
You can't know.
It's great, though, because we need those people. We need our stage managers. We need our production managers and company managers, you know, managing the money and the schedule and everything.
Yeah.
And then you need the artistic people to get out there and tell the story.
Yeah. So y'all have been doing this so over a year.
Yeah, I've been on tour for a little over 13 months.
And she's been with you for almost all that?
We've been on tour together for about 7 months together.
Okay. I mean, is she someone that you think we'll be friends?
Like forever.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to know each other.
Yeah.
You just can't, the other girl was very good. I was glad I got to see it twice. You know, my goal in my heart was once a week. That was what I had originally said before.
That's amazing.
When they announced it. So what happened? I don't even know that I've ever told this. Well, I've never told you, but I don't even know if my friends who are listening have heard this. I always almost moved to New York. It's kind of like the city I didn't move to. And
we have
I
a guest
think
room,
about it.
So.
Well, thank you. I will use it. And so when I really started, there was one time I went up there in 10 or 11. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay. I think I want to do this.
Wow. What part were you looking to live in? Did you know?
I really like the Lower East Side.
Cool.
I don't know why. I'm not trendy. I don't live in
really
East Nashville.
Really trendy down there.
I know. I don't live in East Nashville. But I liked the way it felt. I was writing a book there and I had rented an Airbnb. And so I write really well up there. So when I'm on deadline, I just come up and write because everything's loud and all the food is you can really easily, if I eat weird, I don't eat dairy and you can find all these great restaurants. And so then I said, I just don't know if I can leave my people. So the next step will be, what do I need in my Nashville life that I want from a New York life? And one of them was musical, seeing more theater.
Oh, wow.
And so that's
you got
why
the
I did,
subscription.
Yeah, that's why I did season tickets.
Thank you
then
for
I was
supporting
like,
Life Theater, Annie.
Well, my pleasure. If you ever need me, I'm in row two of the balcony.
Woohoo!
And my two best friends who go with me sit in the floor, but I want to see the orchestra.
Right.
Because I love the French horn player, as we talked about.
You cannot see the French horn player from the orchestra level. I'm sorry.
No. I could see your face way better. I could see the bubble way better. But you cannot. I feel like you don't see the whole thing if you don't see the musicians.
Right.
And so, okay, how do we get there? Why do I even start telling you that?
You asked me, well, wait, a long time ago. You asked me where I live in New York.
Yes, there we go. There we go.
I lived in Harlem. So when I got the standby gig,
gosh,
I
couldn't. Really?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, wow. I couldn't commute from Binghamton every day. So I did have to get an apartment in the city.
Okay.
And
did Eric stay up there?
He stayed up there for his job and was trying to get transferred to an airport closer to us. And he did get transferred to the Westchester airport, but that was only about a year ago. So we did live in Binghamton for 4 years, which was wild. And then we got this apartment in New York, in Harlem.
Yeah.
Found it on Gypsy Housing. Had an awesome roommate named Lindsay Jo McKinley. Shout out to Lindsay Jo.
Yeah.
And, she's like part of the family now.
But yeah.
Lived with her for 7 months. One of my friend's apartments opened up in Long Island City.
Okay.
She went away to go play Jasmine in Australia. And now she's playing Jasmine on Broadway.
Oh, see, I need to come back.
And then crazy story is that her brother was the original Aladdin on Broadway. But don't worry, they never played opposite each other because that would be weird.
Thank you. Yeah, that would be hard.
So Ariel had this gorgeous apartment on the East River, and it was just going to be available for 7 months while she was in Australia. So we lived there for 7 months, and that was glorious.
Yeah.
And then when he actually got transferred to the Westchester Airport, we moved up to New Rochelle. Do you know
New
Rochelle?
No.
So it's just north of the city in Westchester County.
Yeah.
And if you've ever heard of the musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, there's a song called it's called Happy to Keep His Dinner Warm, but it's all about living in New Rochelle.
So, sure.
So when we were looking up in Westchester, I was like, well, the only city I know is New Rochelle. So let's look there first.
I heard it from a song.
Right. Rosemary sings it. So I said, let's go check out New Rochelle. So we were planning originally to kind of look all over Westchester, but fell in love with this apartment that's right next to the Metro North line. So in 30 minutes, I can be from New Rochelle to Grand Central Station. And it's kind of a cool way to arrive in New York City to be like, here we are, Grand Central Station.
I know. I was up there for 2 weeks one time, and I trained up every day out of Grand Central, and I would always listen to Ben Rector. And so this one album.
Oh my gosh, I love Ben Rector so much.
Do you love him? Yes, he's the best.
He's the best.
We should make you friends.
Oh man.
He's wonderful. Him and his wife Hillary are dear. They have a baby named Jane. Who has babies named Jane?
I want to have a baby named Jane.
You should.
My best friend from high school is Jane, and one of my favorite cousins is Jane, and I just feel like Jane's a great name. So
okay, have a baby named Jane. Okay. You can. I think y'all are enough degrees apart that the two Janes shall ne'er meet, or they would be fine with it.
And then my other favorite singer is your friend Dave Barnes.
Oh my gosh.
When I was in college, I drove like an hour to go to one of his concerts and got there really early so I could like be in the front.
Oh my gosh. Whenever he's near you again, say.
Come to New York, Dave.
Yeah, for real. Or come back down here in August. He's at the Ryman.
Oh.
It is so fun when Dave plays the Ryman. Well, anything at the Ryman. Ryman. Have you sang in the Ryman?
I have not sang at the Ryman. We were originally trying to do a Broadway Cares benefit there, but it fell through.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd have been there.
Oh.
I'd love that, to see that at the Ryman.
Maybe someday. But I did see, I saw concerts there growing up. I saw Regina Spektor and Sarah Bareilles. And, I mean, the acoustics in there are so good.
Oh, it just makes me tear up when Drew Holcomb makes me tear up there. I saw Mumford and Sons there. They did three nights.
Oh, man.
The first night, Mumford himself, Marcus Mumford, was sick and was throwing up a lot during the show. And so he just kept leaving. And so I was like, I'm coming back. So I was like, I did another night because I was like, you're my favorite band. My one memory of you at the Ryman can't be puking.
He kept coming back and singing.
And then
with all the acid on his cords, that's incredible.
I know.
Wow. Talk about Show Must Go On.
Right. He did it.
I saw Mumford & Sons in Asheville once when I was working at a summer stock theater down there, but it was not the Ryman. It was like a mosh pit of people that were
awesome.
Mumford.
You're like, I love you guys. And then years later, we can't get a ticket to see them.
Right.
I know. Do you all have a good church you like in New York?
Oh my goodness. Well,
how do you go to church?
It's hard.
Yeah.
We had a church in Binghamton, and then when I moved to New York, I went to Redeemer.
Oh, for
which
sure.
I loved. I went to the Upper West Side location.
Yeah.
And
my friend Ellen Singleton, any chance you know Ellen? She's the small groups person for them.
I did do a small group.
Yeah, I bet you emailed her at some point.
Maybe, it's definitely possible. And that was great because I could either from Harlem, it was so easy to just pop down to the West Side location and then go to work. And then sometimes if it was too early after a Saturday night show or if I was on for the matinee, sometimes I could run between shows on Sunday to one of their evening.
Yeah.
But evening. I wanted to say that one of their evening shows.
Yeah. Which works.
Evening services. But I mean, sitting in the room and listening to Tim Keller preach is like what I wish I had in my life every day.
I know.
But it's a lecture. It's like a lecture.
He's making you smarter every time.
Yeah, no you fail. Feel smarter just being around Tim Keller.
Yeah.
And you can take really good notes because he like lays it all out for you.
Yeah, he outlines. Like, you know, he built an outline because you see it in your notes. Where you're like, exactly. Oh, you win, Tim Keller, because I just wrote my notes with you.
Right.
So what does church look like or when you're on the road like this?
Oh, man.
Answer that and then no.
It's a lot harder on tour. And I will say specifically with this role because it's such a beast.
Why is it such a beast?
Because it... every performance I feel like takes everything I have physically, emotionally, to do and to do it consistently, you know, to be able, and vocally, that's a big thing too. Yeah.
You hit some insane notes.
I sleep so much.
Yeah.
And if I could sleep less, but then I probably wouldn't be able to do all 8 shows every week. Mm-hmm. And that feels important to me too. Cause I guess in some sense I feel like, I don't know. People are counting on me. Like, this is the job I was hired to do, so I want to be able to do it.
Well, now the problem is all of our friends who are listening are going to be like, well, I have to see Jennifer Blair.
So Mondays, our only day off is Monday. And the weekends are the most insane because it's like one show Tuesday, one show Wednesday, one show Thursday, one show Friday, and then two Saturday, two Sunday.
Every week.
Essentially, between Friday night and Sunday night, you're doing 5 shows in 48 hours. And what that requires – vocally and physically is just so much. And I think I thought it would get easier as time went on tour.
Yeah.
And I'm here to say, like, I just finished a 5 show weekend last night and it's not easier.
Yeah. And you're having a party at your house and I showed up in your guest bedroom.
This is great.
A microphone.
No, this is amazing. So with previous tours, I would kind of just wake up Sunday morning and usually, you know, you're staying close to the theater in a hotel and I just find it the closest church in walking distance and go.
That's so sweet.
And that was a cool experience to kind of see how people were worshiping all over the country. But with this role, I've been more going the podcast route.
Yeah.
So I love the Village Church, which is a church in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Travis Garner's the preacher there.
Yeah,
he was my youth minister growing up.
Was he really?
And he married me and my husband. So he's a dear friend.
Wow.
He'll be at the open house tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I love, and he's a friend, so it's so precious to get to just to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. And he has a background in acting too, so his preaching style is, you know, he's a storyteller, and it's captivating.
He's an incredibly good storyteller.
I love Ben Stewart on Breakaway Ministries.
Yeah.
I've been listening to Breakaway Ministries since I was like 17.
Really?
He got me on the podcast train. For sure, too.
You're the second person to tell me that this week, that they've been listening to him for years and years and years.
Really?
Yeah, that is incredible. And now he's at Passion DC.
Right.
I know. Okay, so that's what your pattern looks like.
Oh,
I'm ready.
my like hardcore church on the road has been, oh my goodness, I'll like try not to fangirl, but Christy Knuckles.
I know.
Glorious in the Mundane. And then I'm so happy to know you now and know your podcast because it's going to be such
I'll
a
be right
staple
there with
for
you.
Me.
Oh, you're so kind.
But I had a girlfriend who was a roommate in college tell me about Glorious in the Mundane last summer. She was visiting me. We were in Boston all last summer, which was really cool. And she told me about this podcast, started listening, got hooked. My first episode I listened to was hers with Ellie Holcomb.
Yeah.
Followed by her episode with Bob Goff, which I just listened to yours.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Whitney's the best. He's just
the best.
I have an episode with Christy Knuckles on Glorious
Mundane.
So you have to back up and be like, oh, my gosh, we're friends.
Downloaded
it. Bridget.
So
this is going to happen to you. Now all my friends with podcasts are going to be like, but I want Jenna Claire. And you're going to like not be – you're going to be like, I'm sorry, my voice. I have to rest. And then you'll be on everyone's.
So, I mean – when a new episode drops of Glorious in the Mundane, it's like Christmas for me. I get so excited.
And you never know when they're coming. That's the best part about Christy is she's like 4 in a row. And then she's like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Or I'm busy.
Taking a break.
I love it.
But it's I have so the good. Mug. And that's like my Glorious in the Mundane mug is what I drink out
Why
of
has
my
that one stood
room.
Out to you? What do you like so much about that podcast?
I just, I love her.
I do too. But
I love her heart and her heart for the Lord and for people and for her family. And I think too, it's like a taste of home. Because she is living here and she'll talk about like going to downtown Franklin and going to Sweet Cece's or, you know, doing things around town that makes me feel like grounded and rooted back here because these are where my roots are. And oh man, I'd love to get back here eventually. But
come on.
New York is where it's at right now for me.
I mean, to be sure, Broadway is, yeah. Is there a role that you want? Do you want Glinda on Broadway?
Yeah. Yes, I would love that. Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah. I will fly there. You just won't even, I'll fly there and I'll probably cry. And I'll just be like, I'm so proud. We've been friends since Twitter.
Thank you, Twitter.
Thank you very much, Twitter.
This episode is sponsored by Twitter.
That's right.
There's a lot of great shows that are out right now that are coming out every mm-hmm. year. I mean, there's mm-hmm. always a beautiful new season.
Yeah.
But Mean Girls just came out. That's cool.
Oh my gosh, it looks so fun. Yeah, and Frozen here's what I learned from the internet. Your friend of yours is in Mean Girl.
Yeah.
Mean Girls. Yeah. Because I saw you tweet about her or something.
It's so crazy. It's like these kids I was growing up doing summer stock with and going to school with. Like one of the guys I went to Elon with is playing Evan in Dear Evan Hansen.
Okay.
One of the guys I did summer stock with is playing Hamilton in Hamilton on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
So I'm so excited. One of my best friends is playing the lead in Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to go home and see my friends.
And see everybody. You're like every Monday. Oh, you can't. Everybody's off on Mondays.
So when you come visit.
Yeah. We're just going to see all of them.
We're just going to have to hop around.
Right.
Be like, Annie, come meet all my friends.
Come meet all my people. Where do y'all go from here? Where's the next city?
We go to Indianapolis next.
Okay.
And then to Omaha. And then I'm finished.
Oh, that's it?
That's it for me for now.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. So my Omaha friends, my Indianapolis friends are the only ones. Okay. Listen, everyone, you've got to go. You've got to go.
Ooh.
Are you sad? What do you feel?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know Singing for Good, The Last Day to Mary Kate's going to be like a train wreck.
Yeah, for sure.
No, it'll be good. We'll be professionals. But
you can also be humans. Everyone will be okay
exactly.
with that.
Yeah. It's bittersweet. I'm, like I said, my rock star husband comes to visit me every week, which
every
is amazing.
Week. That's so cool.
But I'm so excited to be back in my own bed with my pillows. And I know this sounds maybe really superficial, but I'm excited about using my plates.
Nope,
I'm excited about
you. I know.
Using my forks. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is, jumping from Airbnb to Airbnb, you're using other people's stuff and it'll be so cool to use my stuff in my house with my husband. So
is that what y'all do in most cities, is Airbnb versus hotels at this point?
Yes. With previous tours, it was all shorter term sit downs, like 1 week engagements, but Wicked, because it's a monster of a show.
Yeah.
We can't have any sit downs that are shorter than, everything has to be at least 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So with a longer sit, anywhere from 2 to 9 weeks.
Yeah.
So with longer sit downs, it gives you a little more freedom to, do the Airbnb thing. So I got pretty burned out from hotels from previous tours. So when I went out on this tour, I decided I'm not going to stay in a hotel. So I've either lived in an Airbnb or with family or with, like, close friends.
Yeah.
Because the kitchen, you were talking about your dietary restrictions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's really hard for people. And there are people on our tour that have dietary restrictions. But, if you're in a hotel, you don't always have a kitchen, so you can't always cook for yourself. And again, with this role, I realized really early on in my run that I wasn't eating enough.
because
I didn't realize how many more calories I was burning.
Oh my gosh, were
from
you
jumping
like,
around
were you
for
like
3 hours
smaller,
at a time.
Smaller, smaller in your dresses,
and just I'd start feeling like I was crashing during a show, and it was literally just because I was eating
out of calories.
I was eating my regular amount and not like, Glinda requirement caloric amount.
Oh my gosh, that's a whole nother level.
I had to shift things around. So for me too, having a kitchen's important.
I get that. I'm on the road enough that like your own pillows, you can't take them. That gets to be a lot. I tried taking one for a long time.
I didn't for a while, and then I had to start because it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Well, if you're somewhere for 4 weeks, I'm going I'm in Louisville tonight.
Right.
You know,
oh,
and it's
goodness.
Like, I mean, do I bring my pillow?
You totally
or
get the tour life thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm out usually. I mean, since I saw you last, I've been to 3 cities. Right.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I do, but I just don't get to stay places.
Wild.
I just pop in and pop out a lot. Right.
Is that exhausting?
Yeah, I think so.
How do you sustain that?
I won't.
Stay healthy?
I won't. I work really hard. I think about myself too much.
I have a question.
Okay.
Have you ever put Neosporin on the inside of your nose, like just here, when you fly?
No. Why?
My ENT taught me this.
Tell
it's
me
really
more.
Good for New York City, too.
Yeah.
Because it's just like dirty, polluted air.
Yeah, does it just catch things?
Yeah, because it's an antibiotic. So you just put it.
So you just put it in your nostrils. Okay,
got that. A little antibiotic.
Oh my gosh! When I fly this weekend and tag you on the internet, don't be surprised.
You have to do it.
I'm going to.
It'll help keep you healthy.
Yeah. So I think The other difference is, well, I just can't keep this. I won't keep this pace forever.
Yeah.
It's a good pace when I'm single. It's a fun pace right now. It won't be my pace forever. Okay. Here's my, I have a few more questions. I'll let you throw your party, that we're keeping you from. What do you know about God now that you didn't know when you started this tour?
Oh, this tour. It's funny. In some ways, it's like, well, God, this was my dream all along, and here we are, we've arrived. But I've never felt more dependent
really?
On Him. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, we made it. Thanks, God. I got this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think part of it is because this role does require so much of every part of me.
Yeah.
That I feel like my resources are more limited. And so I feel like I need Him more than ever to fill me up.
Mm.
It's really cool. The gal who's playing Glinda on Broadway right now, her name is Amanda Jane Cooper. Shout out, AJC.
Yeah.
She loves the Lord, and it's great. We'll FaceTime and pray together and pray for each other. And, you know, at the end of a five-show weekend when my feet are killing.
Yeah, yeah.
She knows, literally, knows exactly what I'm feeling.
Yes.
And so that's cool to have a sister there. But
are there a lot of faith people in the Broadway world?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I think I sat down, I had a conversation with my father-in-law because he was checking on me and being like, yeah. You know, I know you're not able to go to church, and how are you doing like with your faith on the road? And I feel like outside of work, like I have to surround myself with podcasts and with Christian music. And like, I want to just surround myself with people and things that will point me back to Jesus.
Yeah. It seems like when I got to come back into your dressing room last week, I walked in. I mean, I had already done enough to go like, oh, we're sisters in this. And I already knew that. But when I walked into your dressing room, I thought, oh, this is what it feels like when you bring the presence of God with you.
Oh.
Because I've never been back there, surprising you, with all my skill set that would get me to a dressing room. But I would imagine that what I felt is what you bring.
Thank you.
And I thought, man, she does the work to make a space where not everyone believes what you believe, but you have made a space that the Holy Spirit shows up. And I thought, oh, this is my kind of person.
Thanks,
so
Annie.
I felt it. And it wasn't just, I mean, you were incredibly kind and so fun for me and my friend. I mean, those little two teenage girls that came back there.
They're so cute. I ran into them again at the lottery.
No.
A couple days later. Yeah, they're adorable.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, when's your girl band starting? I'm ready for
Serious,
it.
Serious, I know.
I'm here for it. I'm your number one fan. No, they're so cute.
I know, but I could... It just shows that you're doing the work of staying faithful to who you are and to your God while you are in a place where you aren't like, you aren't preaching. You're like.
Your words are like water. Like just nourishing me. Thank you. It's funny because something I've struggled with since I've been on tour is feeling like I've felt so selfish this season. Mm. Feeling like I can't give in the way, you know, I can't go out and hang out with people after the show because I have to sleep or I have to steal my voice or I have to reserve my voice and I feel like everything revolves around, you know, doing the 8 shows a week. So it's like, what am I going to eat next and where am I going to live next and what am I going to do next?
Yes.
And even like being away from my husband, I feel like I'm not having to worry about his day-to-day, you know, needs on an hour-to-hour basis because we're kind of living these separate lives, but, you know, trying all the time to talk when we can and coming to visit every week and making it work and trying to do our date nights, you know, as if we were living in the same place.
Right.
But yeah, so it's hard, but thank you. I really appreciate that.
I mean, that is the thing that I think people who aren't on the road and our lives are different, but similar enough that when I say we have to think about ourselves too much, it is purely, I have to make sure my body will do what God's asked me to do.
Mm.
And at the speed you run and the speed I run, if we don't think about ourselves, we will run ourselves into the ground and miss out on the rest of what God has for us.
Oh, man.
Right? But then it's also like, I don't want to be selfish. I want to spend time with people. I want to do this. And it's like, but I have to sleep 8 hours. Like, if I don't sleep 8 hours, I can't.
Right.
Because today I've recorded an audiobook and done this, and I drive to Louisville, right? So if I get up and go to 6 a.m. yoga with my friends, which I wanted to, I can't do the rest of what.
Oh my gosh, yes, exactly. And it's funny, you know, to bring it back to Wicked.
Yes, please
Elphaba
do.
Sings that lyric, I'm limited.
Yes.
And even though I feel like I'm living my dream and I'm doing something that's, I think, pretty cool, I've never felt more limited.
Yeah.
By the things I can actually do outside of the show. And I have this best friend from Chicago. She's been my friend my whole life. And, you know, she's been so supportive and has come and visited me in so many cities. But there's so many nights where she's a social worker in Chicago and she has normal business hours and I definitely don't. So she'll be going to bed and I'll be, you know, getting pumped for the night. But, you know, I keep saying, I'm not going to be Glinda forever. I'm not going to be Glinda forever. And, you know, I know this is a season, but.
Yeah. And that interesting part of it too, of going like, I'm doing what I dreamed of doing. I will not do this when I'm 70.
Right.
Like, this isn't the thing forever. This is God saying yes to a prayer I prayed as a 13-year-old that at some point will be done.
Right.
And that's crazy.
God is so faithful. Even like, oh my gosh, these last 7 weeks we were in Memphis and Nashville. And, you know, usually I'll know a handful of people in a city, but it went from that to knowing like 30 people at every show.
Oh gosh, I bet.
And it felt really important to me to be able to do all of the performances while we were in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because I did have friends and family that had bought tickets for every single show. And so I get to Nashville and everyone's like, let's have coffee. Let's go on a walk. Come here. Come speak at this school or come talk to this group of students. And man, saying no is so hard for me.
Yeah.
But it's what I had to do. And when the curtain went down last night, I just rejoiced.
Yeah.
You know, not because I want to leave Nashville, because I don't. Right. I love it. I love it here. But this open house is kind of the celebration for me of all these people I've wanted to see and sit and have coffee with these last 7 weeks that I haven't been able to. It's like, come over. Let's hang out.
Right. I'll throw something.
We did it.
I don't have to worry about my voice tonight.
Right. And even my mom and dad had talked about like having an open house in the middle of the run. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It won't be over yet.
Right. How quick are you in Indianapolis? Like,
Tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, when we finish, I'm going and picking up a minivan.
Oh, my gosh.
And I am having a road trip tomorrow. The company actually took a bus today. Okay. Usually we fly, but it's so close. It's easier to take a bus for this leg of the trip. But tomorrow I'm getting in a minivan with the gal who plays Elphaba, Mary-Kate, and our sweet, sweet onstage lover, Fiero, John Robert Hall. And we are taking a road trip. The three of us and his puppy L.
Please, and the story.
Constantly. I think it's gonna be epic.
You're gonna have to. I mean, I don't follow him, but I follow both of y'all, and I love how your
John's really cool. You should follow him.
I've looked at. He sings a lot.
He's a country singer.
Yes, that's it.
He's from California. He did college football, and now he's doing musical theater. He was like on Grease Live and on Glee, and you've seen him. But super awesome. Great guy.
Yeah.
And the three of us just have the best time together. He's been like writing with Rascal Flatts and stuff this week too.
Oh, well done.
He's cool.
That's really cool.
He's cool. Yeah.
So when my friends who are listening and your friends who are listening now, here's one of my favorite things that happens.
Our friends.
It's our friends. It's everyone goes all in on you.
Oh.
Like they did it for my friend Dansby, the baseball player. Like all of a sudden you become like our favorite Broadway star. And so when they think of you or when they see your name, or when they are in the audience and you're, what do you want our friends to pray? What's the thing like, man, when I can pray for Jenna Claire, I'm going to pray.
Oh, man. That I could just have a heart full of love. Oh, my gosh. I'm quoting Les Mis now.
Well done.
Oh, no. My passion is people. Okay. I love people and I love
I believe that. I saw it.
People.
Yeah.
It's, you know, not to say that we don't run into people who frustrate us. You know, I was listening to your episode with Bob Goff, and he was talking about loving someone for the next 30 seconds.
Yes.
And counting down. I had to do that this week.
Yeah.
I was in a returns line, and it wasn't going the way I hoped it would. And I literally, in my head, was like, 30, 29, 28. Thank you, Bob Goff. I just want to be filled with the love of the Lord and have his eyes to see people the way he sees
them. That's incredibly selfless. That's really kind of you.
That'd be great to do that. What about you?
We can do that. Oh gosh, what do I want people to pray? No one's ever asked me that back. I want people to pray that God will use my life no matter what happens. That's what I want. Yeah. I want him to just use it up. I want to be like when we're done, I want to be wrinkly because he squeezed me so dry. Oh. Right? Like I want, when I'm 100, I want to be so wrinkly. And you'll be like, well, he twisted her the whole time. So of course she was wrinkly. Right? So that's what I want.
You know that verse, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
And that's it, right?
And you're doing it, girl.
Man, you are too.
Your podcast, you're speaking in your books. And it's really amazing. You're an inspiration. Like I'm so grateful that Nashville happened and that I got to meet you.
The same thing. I just think like, I mean, I know we joked about this on text, but I was like, how does it feel like this? But it's great. Okay, Jenna Claire stuck with me. Like this is the real deal.
I think the glitter was the bonding.
Okay,
glue
let me tell you
us.
This. It was. Do you know? Here's what you can't know, and I may cry telling you this. What my friends know is that I love glitter. Like, I put it in packages when I mail it. Like, I am not a normal person about glitter. I'm not like a casual glitter. Like, or I'm like, people know that I love sequins and glitter. And I was, I kind of told you that I was kind of sad that night that I came to see that show because of my stuff in my life. And you had no idea. And you pulled me over and covered me in glitter. And I said to the Lord, I mean, I have a whole, I'll post it when this comes out. I took a picture when I got home because I had been crying and I still had glitter. And I said to the Lord, like, you see me. Like, how could that have ever... That's not accidental, you know, like, and so I knew the Holy Spirit was alive and well in you when I walked into your room. But then when you went, before we start, before even we're friends, I got to put glitter on your face. I was like, God is so specific. Cause there's a lot of people who'd have been like, no. And I was like, baptize me in joy. Cause I can bring the sadness and you can bring the joy and we can hold both of those. Like that. I feel like that's something I've learned really well in the last, not really well, but really actively in the last 2 years. Is you can hold joy and sadness at the same time.
Wow.
And you gave me that. And you just didn't even know. And it was such a gift. And
I
didn't
even know. Baptized in glitter.
Yeah, I'm so loyal to you for just being you in a way that showed me how God sees me.
That's so tender. So,
I know. It's really
I have this girlfriend named Grace, which is a great name. Grace.
Yeah.
Good reminder.
Right.
But she talks about how God sends us love notes every day.
Yeah.
And so I feel like sometimes I'm actively looking for a love note. But I mean, that was a love note then.
Man, big time. It really, it will mark me for a long time. Because I thought, only me. Only would I get covered in glitter and feel like it's God. So many people be like, what? And I was like, oh my gosh, Jenna Claire, you are being Jesus to me right now. So, okay, last question. I'll let you get your rental van. The last question we always ask is, what is fun for you? What sounds fun?
Anywhere. Anything?
Anything you want.
Oh, man.
No limits. You can say a flight around the world or a bath. People do both.
Ooh, both are good.
Right? Serious, I know.
Since we're in Nashville, can I make it a two-part question?
Yes, of course.
Since we're in Nashville, a couple things that sound fun to me in Nashville when I'm downtown, and I haven't gotten to do it this trip, but I love walking across the pedestrian bridge.
Yes.
I think it's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
And a really pretty picture of our city.
Mm-hmm.
Sunset, afternoon, any time of day. I got some really fun bachelorette party pictures there on the bridge. I love that bridge.
Yeah, me too.
I love downtown Franklin.
It's so sweet.
There's a really fun YouTube video. I don't know if you've seen it. It's I took Mary Kate. They like had a film crew for a press event. Follow me and Mary Kate around downtown Franklin. And I just got to take her to my favorite places.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Took her to Meredy's, got my chicken salad sandwich on egg bread with my fruit tea.
I was about to say, please tell me you had the fruit tea.
And got to introduce her to that magic.
Yeah.
And took her to some of my favorite boutiques and we got sweet CC's. And I think, downtown Franklin's pretty fun.
So, hey, what is your favorite meal here in Nashville?
Meredy's,
really?
For sure.
Even like not a fancy dinner, you're gonna chicken salad and
fruit tea. I'm not really a foodie. Yeah.
Okay. Franklin. That's a good thing if to not be a foodie with as much as you travel. Of like, give me a sandwich.
I just want my food to nourish
that's
me.
Right.
But no,
right.
Meredy's is like comfort food though for sure.
Yeah.
And then something that sounds fun to me and what we're gonna do when you come visit me in New York City.
Yeah.
I really like walking on the High Line. Have you heard about
this? Yes, I've done it. I haven't done the whole thing, but I've done some of it.
That's
but I
really
love
cool.
it. Yeah.
And it ends at Chelsea Market, and that's a really cool place. And
then
something Eric and I discovered when I was living in Long Island City is that you can take the East River Ferry.
Uh-huh. I've never done that.
You know, you don't have to get on a fancy tourist boat.
Right.
It's just like public. It's just like getting on the subway. You know, you can get on the East River Ferry, and it'll take you down to Dumbo, Brooklyn, and there's really good pizza down there. And and it's just a fun way to get outside of the city and, and see it and appreciate it.
So after these two runs, you're home. So I'm just going to come.
Woohoo!
Okay. It's summer. Summertime. We're doing
summertime
it.
Summertime in the city.
I want to. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you so it's much so for fun. Reaching out. I'm so glad this happened.
I know, me too.
Thank you, Twitter.
Thank you. We'd again like to say thanks to Twitter. Is there anything we forgot to talk about or anything else you want us to make sure people know?
Eric and I start, my husband, who's an air traffic controller.
Yes.
Plays the guitar really well.
Oh, wow.
So we started doing, we did one 60-second like acoustic covers. And so, and that's really fun for us because it's
something on YouTube?
We can do together. We have one.
Okay, great. We can watch it.
But we've planned other ones. They just haven't actually been filmed. So that'll be something fun to do when we're finally living in the same place.
Just around the corner.
No, it's been something really cool about touring is that I really love people and I really love meeting people. And if I ever get the chance to meet you at a stage door or an Alice's Teacup or an airport, please come say hi.
I know. Don't you love when people do that? I love when people do
that. I just feel like God shows his creativity in people. People are amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we're all different and we all have these experiences that have shaped us and molded us. And I love I like getting to know people.
Yeah. Okay, so if they see you in public.
Come say hi.
I say the same thing.
Come to New York. Come visit. Yeah.
I'm always like, don't sit over there when you know I'm over here. You know, you can hear me. You know my voice. Come over and say hi. All right. Anything else?
I did the Duck Dynasty musical. Did you hear about
this? Oh my gosh. I do know that because I'm friends with all those people and I saw that you were Corey.
Yes. So we have to talk about this briefly. I was doing Newsies the musical.
Yeah.
And the guy who was directing Newsies was doing workshops to direct the Duck Dynasty musical, which became, it was called the Duck Commander musical. Mm-hmm. And somebody dropped out of the reading one weekend and he called me in. I read for Missy, heard the music, fell in love with the music. It's some of my favorite music I've ever sung.
I haven't heard it. I need to listen.
It's awesome. It's like, it's my roots. It's country. Mm-hmm, it's soul. Mm-hmm, it's like country pop, country soul, country rock. Mm-hmm. So then it came around that it was actually going to happen after years, literally years of workshops. And that's how it is with so many shows. And I emailed the director. They asked me to audition for Missy, which would have been awesome. Love you, Missy. Missy came to see the show in Nashville with her whole full family.
Yeah.
But I really liked this, some of the songs Corey got to sing. And I asked our director, Jeff Calhoun, I said, can I audition for Corey? So I was in Chicago and made a little audition video and sent it in and got the part from this audition video, which is really cool and not usually how things happened. And kind of got plucked out of that job and set into this new one. And we rehearsed in New York. We went to Vegas. It was in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
At the Rio. And sadly, it was a shorter run than anticipated.
Yeah.
But we got to go down to Louisiana and do a Duck Dynasty episode of kind of like the making of the musical
with
Annie.
Yeah.
So stayed with the Robertsons.
Aren't they the best?
They are the
best. Sadie's the best. I know.
I love that family so much.
I know.
And they just took me in. And my grandmother's from Louisiana. So, I mean, sitting around that table and eating with all of them, first of all, it's just like the TV show.
Yeah.
But I also kind of, it felt like being with my family.
Yeah.
So it felt really familiar and comfy and that family's been so wonderful and so supportive. And they'll like come up to New York and we'll like go to Fashion Week together.
Oh my gosh.
I got to see Sadie like walk the runway.
Yeah. And I can't believe we share Sadie and we didn't know.
I sang the national anthem at the Yankees game.
Yeah.
And Sadie came.
Oh,
she like literally walked off the runway and then like got in a cab and came to Yankee Stadium. So they've just, they have been so supportive and so loving, but it made me happy. I saw that picture on your feed of you and Sadie, but she's such a sweet girl. And I love that she's in Nashville now
because
it means we can meet up at Frothy Monkey.
Yeah, that's right. That is where, do you know, she and I texted yesterday. We were like Wednesday at Frothy.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. Did you want to tie it to Bob? You said something about Bob.
Newsies was a tricky little run for me, and someone told me that I should read Love Does. And I read Love Does back in the little female gondola area, which is where you get dressed. And it was such a light for me. And I was at the opening night party for Duck Dynasty in Vegas, and Bob Goff was there.
Oh, my gosh.
And I went over and got to talk to him, and he was everything you'd hope Bob Goff would be, and then some.
I know.
So we've stayed in touch over the years, which has been really fun. He is I mean, a model for being a people person. He is so good at keeping in touch. Again, thank you, Twitter. He's someone who just will send a message and check in and see how you're doing. And it's been so impressive. And then he invited me to come to the Dream Big workshop a few weeks ago. Yeah. And that was a magical couple days in a room.
I was on the Road Classic.
Can you go?
I want to.
Annie, you have to go.
Okay.
You have to go.
You can boss me.
We got a copy of Everybody Always. And so I've been reading that with my husband.
Yeah.
Eric prayed the other night. He was like, "Dear God, please help us to be half as good at loving people as Bob Goff."
Serious. I know. Just give me a degree of that. I know.
So, yeah. So much love for him. And
me too. I think the world of him. I think he's done a beautiful job of showing us how to be influential but not famous, because he doesn't care.
And I'm reading Maria's book too, which is great. And then I was actually at a table with her at the Dream Big Conference. It was really cool getting to know her.
Do you know when she mailed her book to other authors? Do you know what we do? You'll get it when my next book comes out. But what we do is you mail the book and then like a little something, a trinket or a gift or a something just to say, "Hey, here's the book," and whatever. She mailed a key to her house to everyone. That's what she gave. I mean, you always give things connected to your book, but they were like, "This is a key to our house. Anytime, come on."
Oh,
I know exactly where that key is. I know exactly. I'm like, if I'm ever out in San Diego, I'm taking that with me.
Exactly,
because I will try it on every door.
Well, in chapter 13 of Love Does, that's what they do. They send keys to all these world leaders.
Yes,
and invite them to come to their house and talk to them, and then they ended up going and talking to a bunch.
And you know that table that they all signed is one of the things that burned when the house burned down. We got to end on a different note.
we got to tell another story. Oh, gosh.
We're having a great time.
Balloons, fingerprints, orphanages, schools for witch doctors.
You arrive in a bubble and we'll leave in a bubble. We'll just leave in a bubble, everyone. We're strapped in. We're leaving in a bubble.
You guys, isn't she the dearest and best? I know. We're going to be cheering for her like crazy for the rest of forever. I know. I just love her. Hey, if you want to follow Jenna Claire, that is her name on Instagram and Twitter, GINNACLAIRE, Jenna Claire. You can follow her over there. She is great at Insta Story, super fun. And I really, really hope you get to see her play Glinda. You should at least Google it and go watch some of her videos and watch her and her husband Eric together, because they are just the best. She is so, so gifted and talented. So, hey, if you need me, if there's anything I can do for you, I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Apparently any day of the week, not just on Thursdays. I'm Annie F. Downs, F as in Friends on Broadway, because now we have them, you guys. Now we have them. Annie F. Downs across the internet, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you may need me. So I hope you enjoyed this surprise episode today, and we will see you on Thursday. You guys have a great few days. Hey, don't forget to go out and do something that sounds fun to you, and we will see you on Thursday.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.